Hello there. We promised we would return, and we followed through with our threat. So, my name is Chris.
Ooh, and I'm Nicole.
And this this is our podcast, We Should Write This Down, where sometimes we'll make up a story that we should write down, but other times this is literally just to help us remember what the hell we said previously. So yeah, and this episode, I think we're going to be talking about things that kept us sane over the past couple years while we weren't podcasting.
Or just like the last couple weeks, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
The constant struggle for sanity.
Yeah. We're going to talk about a couple movies that we watched recently, so let's get into that now.
But actually, you're going to talk about The Sims first.
Oh. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go on some rants about stuff, and then we'll get into some movies. Sorry about the Sims talk, everybody. Okay, bye.
It's time to get into that sweet, sweet Sim hole.
You don't need to prep it first because it's gaping. What? Oh, God. Mm. See, we can't have me here. It's going to be bad.
Gaping might be okay. Judges, is gaping okay?
Is gaping acceptable?
Is gaping acceptable? And we have a name for the podcast.
Is gaping acceptable?
Okay, I think that's pretty good.
Okay, well, let's get into it now.
So, oh, gaping? So.
No! No, now I'll snip in the snippy snips. I'll snip in the clippy clips. There we go.
Clippy clips. Clip in the snips of the snips of the clips.
I'll snip the clip clips. So, after the comic bookstore closed, my reading went way down, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would say is, so when we were working in the store, I think I was listening to the first episode again, and it was good. I enjoyed it. It was Queer Eye for the Decepticeye.
Oh yeah,
yeah, that was a good one because we came up with a boys love manga that, you know, we we may want to revisit one day.
Oh yeah,
but you were saying pretty much that your capacity for reading books was really low because you just were like living and breathing and suffering within it, and so all you had capacity for was like YouTube videos, right?
Yes.
So since the pandemic, for
me, nothing's changed.
Yeah, nothing's changed. Yeah, the YouTube rabbit hole is like really bad,
yes,
for sure. But I would say that probably what's worse for me, and maybe you have something for you, but I don't know, my dark hole of despair that I crawl into like a gerbil in a butthole is Sims 4, which is arguably the worst piece of trash Sims game that may have ever come out. And there's a lot of bad, like, console kind of games that have come out. But The Sims 4 is, like, a very broken game by a very corrupt company, EA. And they're just like, you're gonna just suckle our balls, and you're gonna love the taste of, you know, our salty balls. And we're all like, I mean, we'll enjoy it, but, like, at 50% off on a sale, maybe? Until we get frustrated, and the game keeps crashing, and then we stop doing it. So... I'm going to go on a really long rant here. I apologize.
That's okay. Go for it. Release your hatred.
I think about maybe a month or so ago. Well, definitely like January of 2024, I, you know, supposedly got COVID. My at-home tests said I had COVID. And I, you know, William and I got, you know, pretty sick for a while, and it took us a little while to recover. So, you know, there's just a lot of like sitting and sleeping and all of that. And I'm built kind of for that because I'm a lazy ass. But at a certain point, I'm like, okay, I'm really done. So I, you know, try to get motivated and do all kinds of stuff. And then the video games just start calling. They're like, yeah, but don't you want to play this game? It's like really rewarding. And so I started getting into watching Farming Simulator games. I don't know if you're familiar with that. They've been doing those games forever. And I remember kind of scoffing at them. I mean, as a Sims player, I'm like the lowest bottom of the barrel for gamers, supposedly. So, you know, for me to scoff at Farming Simulator is kind of like, girl, calm down. But then it was like, kind of attractive to me. And I was like, ooh, farming. That sounds just really relaxing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, part of the update is that I got laid off in late fall of last year, and it kind of broke me a little bit. So it's been a battle of like depression and motivation and sparkle syndrome and all of those types of things to try to like not only process what happened, but try to figure out what's next. And I just don't have a what's next. So I've been feeling very aimless and, you know, the system is broken and whatever. It's a whole thing.
Now, real quick, Nicole, for the listeners, can you define sparkle syndrome?
Sparkle syndrome is undiagnosed ADD.
There you go.
It's the self-diagnosed ADD. But it just means that, like, if you've ever seen any of those reels, I see them because it knows me. But it's one of those where somebody puts a cup down and then they go, oh, wait, I need to clean this thing. And then they go clean the thing and they go, oh, wait, but this thing didn't get put away. And then you go put the thing away and then you come back and you go, wait, wasn't I making tea? That's right. My life. That's my brain. And people call that multitasking. I call that chaos. And
maybe you're just a chaos demon.
I am actually a chaos demon. My goblin night mode activates and I just become like a weirdo. And then my husband is like, you're never sleeping again. I'm like, no, never sleep again. Yeah, so that's my life. It's pretty great. And anyway, so I saw Farming Simulator, thought it was really relaxing. And but then I was like, oh, it's, you know, it's full price and I'm unemployed, so I really shouldn't be spending money so frivolously. I should be taking some care. I have a privileged financial situation right now where I do have a buffer, so I can kind of do those things. But at the same time, I have nothing lined up, so I can't do those kind of things. So I talked myself out of it. And I just said, you know what? The Sims 4 has farming in it. I could just play the cottage living expansion, which had like, you know, animals and more planting. And so I was like, okay, I'll just get it out that way. Well, then I just went into another like Sims hole, and it's not rewarding, but it is, you know what I mean? Like it's again, the worst Sims game that's ever happened to us, as a main Sims game, but it's still got enough in there that I can just kind of milk from the teat a little bit, just suckle a little bit. Yeah, I don't know why I'm so graphic right now, but.
That's all right. That's all right. We're just going to have to accept being demonetized if we ever try to monetize. And
no, we'll just bleep me or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that takes work. Ah, not yet.
We'll see.
Whatever. We'll figure that out.
So then that just killed any, you know, motivation to get off of the couch and do things with my life. Because I do want to, you know, do stuff around the house. It's like what happened when Comics Dungeon and Corner Comics went down. It was like, well, I'm going to do the thing that people do and just, you know, like, rearrange my whole life, which is just going through all my stuff in the house. And it just doesn't work this time because Comics Dungeon closing was like a chapter, and I felt really proud of what we had accomplished and the community that we had built and what we had provided. So I didn't feel like, you know, I didn't necessarily feel bad. You know what I mean? Like we had, you know, some really great customers, really, and I had really great experiences there. It was just kind of like, okay, you know, that's it. What's next? This one was like, you know, I've had two jobs and 2 years. And the first job was an absolute nightmare. And the second job was like, oh, okay, this is where I'm meant to be. This is like the next chapter for me, and I can grow and I can build here. And then we experienced a number of layoffs, and then I was just done. And it's like, oh, okay.
It's like hitting the brick wall, kind of.
Yeah, it was like hitting a brick wall. And it's like, you know, I'm not getting any younger. So I'm, as a product of capitalism, as a human product, I am not as viable. I cost more, you know, because I have experiences and stuff like that. And there's just a number of layoffs that are continuing to happen. So it's like in the industries that I was looking to move into, is that really viable for me? And I don't, I'm just not interested in going through layoff after layoff. I just went on LinkedIn and someone said, well, after 30 days, I just got laid off from this job. I'm a little flabbergasted, but if y'all got any leads, let me know. And it was just like, I just can't. Like, there's just a part of me that's just like, okay, AI can take over because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to manage business to not have somebody stay employed for more than 30 days. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, so. Yeah. And just that kind of experience, that constant experience is going to wear you down like the rest of life is already doing. Mm-hmm. So I feel you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I am also, well, I got a new job back in the end of 21, and I've been there for 2 years now, and part of me wants to be a cog in a machine, but a very specific cog that gets left alone. And the machine keeps changing up, and they're like, can you be like this kind of cog that does these other five cog things on top of other cog? And maybe we'll pay you more, but you have to suffer. And it's just like, nah, can I just be the first cog? But can you actually pay me for being good?
Yeah.
You're right. And so, like, things are changing up too on my side. So we'll see how my sanity holds up on that as well. But like what you were saying, it's like we had our YouTube holes and you have The Sims and all that. My thing was a little bit more falling back into movies and catching up with older movies and things that I've been meaning to watch or things that I just completely forgot what happened because I'm an old. We've established this.
Yeah, it's strange to think that. You know, 20 years ago was the early 2000s.
Shut your trap.
And rewatching those things is like, oh, I feel every bit of this 2000 right now. I don't know if you've had that experience.
I've had that experience. There's been a couple unique different experiences that I could apply to watching stuff like that. And some things are, I feel, managed to hit a timeless note. Mm. Maybe because they're more of a period piece and my mind can look at it a bit differently because of that. But then there are certain things like a bunch of early 2000s Japanese cinema that I've been watching that was like, oh, you came out right after The Matrix. Oh, you have no budget and you're shot entirely in a forest. Oh, I have six of you movies. Like, got it. That is a snapshot and it's kind of a painful one to look at, even though there's some good stuff within that. So yeah, it's been an interesting, sub journey to help try and keep my sanity through the current, work experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So with that, did you want to talk about more of any other games that were, you know, maybe helping you through, or?
There are no other games.
There's only The Sims. Well, so let's do a quick spot hard focus. I'm going to put you on the spotlight.
Okay.
What's the most recent movie you just watched?
Well, it was this afternoon. I just finished watching the rest of Set It Off, which is a 1996 movie with a lot of heavy-hitting actors, including Jada Pinkett Smith, Queen Latifah, Vivica Fox, and Kimberly Elise, although I don't know Kimberly Elise all that well. But also John C. McGinley, which I know mainly from Scrubs. He was like the curmudgeon doctor on Scrubs, but he's been in all kinds of stuff that's way better than Scrubs. Okay, so the system let these women down in various ways. They, you know, they're living in the hood and all that stuff, and everyone's having, you know, they're struggling. One person works for a bank, and she's been a really good worker for the last 2 years. A robbery happens where she knows the person who is doing the robbery, and so people think that she is in cahoots, so she loses her job. So she loses her stability. Another person, like, loses her brother to police violence. Another person is a badass lesbian, Queen Latifah. And another one is a struggling single mother who, like, is trying to get, you know, care for her son while she works, but she can't afford it because she doesn't make enough money. Like, that's a lot of people's story in America. So I think a lot of that still holds up very much, unfortunately. I'd say the one critique that I have, like, I thought it was a pretty solid movie. And especially trying to think about when that came out at the time, too, in 1996, that, you know, that was like a pretty hard-hitting cast, too. You know, like, four strong black women in these roles. I'd say the only thing is just, like, I really thought my women would have more precision because there's a lot of times they're, like, they're walking out of the getaway car, like, just full face, you know? Like, they don't have a mask on or anything, you know? They're just not, like, really tight. And that's probably the writing and directing, right? Like, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that's the only thing, like, I unfortunately am kind of critical about the way, like, women are portrayed in media because I do want it to be strong. We just, We don't have as much good representation as I would like. And so I get a little critiquey, but otherwise, you know, it was pretty solid for mm-hmm. me. Experience, watched it on Tubi for free. So you can do that as well if you want to.
Nice.
Not you, but you know, our dear listeners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, I might watch it. Maybe not on Tubi. Yeah. But so anything? Oh, you had said, what was the next movie right after that?
It's animation month this month. So like we did also watch some pretty good animation so far and some weird movies. And yes, I did watch Cool World to kick it off.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But that's a whole other episode.
That's a whole other episode. The Cool World episode. Stay tuned, folks.
Nobody's asking for
it. There's got to be somebody asking for it. Now, whether you should be worried about that person.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I question myself, and I think that's a healthy place to be, you know?
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair. I'll do a quick... So, like, you know, like I said, I've been watching tons of stuff for, you know, past... That's such a weird statement to say. I've been watching stuff for the past couple of years. But like I said, you know, try to kind of get less on YouTube, and which is... I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, but it's definitely... YouTube stuff is a little bit like... quick candy. It's like a quick filler. You know, sometimes you could watch some piece videos that talk about, you know, give you some history on stuff or whatever. Or you could waste time watching like a Markiplier video or a Let's Play. So sometimes I'll just end up doing way too much of that. And there's not much, you know, you're not getting much story out of stuff like that. So I've been trying to focus and trying to watch at least 2 to 3 movies a week if I can. And this week is what I'll just do a quick focus on. I watched Hidalgo, the horse movie starring, what's his bucket, Aragorn, Viggo Mortensen.
Is it the horse movie?
It's a horse movie.
So it's not the horse movie.
Okay. It's not the horse movie. I don't know what the horse movie is. There should be a new Mr. Ed movie,
Scrum
and that
bucket?
Would be
no,
it.
No, that's not right. Scrum Bucket.
Grum Bucket.
What was that movie, that horse movie that everyone freaking...
Seabiscuit.
There we go. Scrum Bucket. Jesus, what's wrong with me?
I like Scrum Bucket.
Anyway.
And I did Hidalgo and Machine Girl back to back. So real quick, Hidalgo is, I think that was Disney. It's Buena Vista Pictures, something like that. And that's, you know, it's cheesy action adventure. It's supposed to be biographical, but how much of this is true is, it's its own thing to deal with. And then Machine Girl is a 2008, ultra gory action comedy Japanese film, that is very tasteless and very entertaining.
Yeah, I kind of want to watch that one.
Yeah, these two are the perfect complement to each other.
Nice.
For no conceivable reason. What I will say about Hidalgo, if you just kind of like a period piece and you just kind of want some easygoing adventure, it's directed by Joe Johnston, the guy who did The Rocketeer and Captain America, the first Captain America
movie.
Nice. And so it's solid. It's well done.
Yeah.
And Viggo is Viggo. Mm-hmm. I love Viggo. Mm-hmm. Viggo's mm-hmm. kind of an interesting guy to me because at the same time, he is a very handsome man. Mm-hmm. He can also be kind of a very rough, ugly man.
Yeah.
And I love that. I really love that because he plays a drunken cowboy throughout this and he just looks like hell froze over.
Oh, yeah. No, he seems perfect for that.
And it's got Omar Sharif in it. He's amazing. It's got a couple quick cameos from J.K. Simmons is there as Buffalo Bill. Malcolm McDowell is there. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, it's kind of fun. And but also it fills into my larger fan fiction that Viggo Mortensen is trying to buy all the horses in Hollywood because he bought 2 horses from Lord of the Rings. One of them was a gift to one of the stunt people on the movie, but he bought a horse from this movie. So like every time he does a horse movie, he falls in love with a horse.
Aww.
And he's great. And I mean, he wrote an entire book about horses. The guy loves horses. So it's kind of fun because this is sort of like A friend's been trying to, has been getting me to watch more baseball movies, and I don't really care that much about baseball, but I did just watch Field of Dreams. And Field of Dreams is like Kevin Costner's, like, that's, you know, his passion thing. It's his baseball movie. And, Hidalgo's is horses. So anytime he could be in the horse movie, I'm pretty sure he is happy as hell.
That's pretty sweet.
Side note, Field of Dreams, I just renamed it, The Gooning Diamond because, because they just talk about, you know, you will come so much in that movie. There's so many immature jokes you could make to keep you sane while watching it.
Wow. Yeah, I was wondering, because so fun fact, I was really into baseball for like a year when I was like 8, 9, 10, something like that. I don't know what year. So I watched like Field of Dreams and I remember really loving it. But I thought about it recently and I'm just like, I probably never want to watch that movie again. Like, is it just...
You know what? It's well done, and it's got good acting, it's interesting, it's very oddly paced, and that is in itself fascinating to me, but it's also one of those, like, it's just magical realism, the power of baseball, and I understand the appeal for a lot of people, it's just... That particular viewpoint doesn't, it goes over my head a bit. I comprehend it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't do much for me. But as a movie, it's entertaining and it's got some really good, performances in it. Ray Liotta pops up in it and I like Ray Liotta. Rest in peace. And Darth Vader's there and Burt Lancaster. Yeah, Burt Lancaster's there.
Darth Vader's there.
Yeah. He's there.
James Earl Jones?
Yes.
Okay.
You have to put up with me sometimes where I will black out on a real person's name, but I'll be able to define them by other roles, you know? Like, the movie Troy is just the Hulk and Legolas versus Tyler Durden and Boromir. with like, guest appearances from most of Braveheart in the background, you know? And I'm pretty sure Hellboy's dad is in that movie, too. So,
what a movie.
Yeah, it's more entertaining when you think of it that way, too.
Yeah.
So, true. Yeah. Wait a second. I tangented into a hard tangent. Okay, Gooning Diamond. We're done with that. But Gooning Diamond can lead us directly into the Machine Girl.
Wow.
So, Machine Girl, the director is the guy who did Tokyo Gore Police, which I think is slightly more well-known. But it's just this, there's a time, maybe it's still going on, where there's just a lot of these medium-budget, hyper-active, hyper-gore, really silly action movies from Japan. Like I said, not in the best taste. There's a couple parts in this that's just like, ooh, well, some people ain't gonna like that. But also, if you love an excessive amount of blood spurting from limbs being chopped off, boy, do we have the movie for you.
Yeah.
There's some bits and pieces of it that feel like definitely Sam Raimi was an inspiration. And there's some really stupid over-the-top bits of murder that go on. What's funny is they cover the Machine Girl, but she loses an arm and she just gets a machine gun arm, which it's like a super powered machine gun arm that was just made by a random car mechanic. And you just, the whole movie, you just kind of got to turn off most of your brain and just be like, ah, you're doing this. Okay, that's fine. What's great is all the actors put 100% into it. So they are saying some of the stupidest things you'll ever hear, but they're sincere. And that carries a lot of the movie very well. There's like a junior high ninja team that works for the Yakuza. Real quick background, the main character, her younger brother is bullied and murdered and framed for basically committing suicide. And she goes on a revenge tear through town and starts murdering anybody connected to it. And so that includes murdering the henchmen of a young bully who's like the son of a Yakuza. There's a sequence where she murders like 4 or 5 of these kids. And then the parents of those kids are mourning their children and they are led by the Yakuza to believe that she is just a serial killer. And so they must get revenge on her. So it's just this never ending cycle of revenge. four of those parents team up to become the Super Mourner Squad. And they have like armor and like a portrait of their dead child on their chest. And they're wearing like football helmets and guns on their arms. It's a trip.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's a lot of machine gun murders and a lot of samurai sword battles. There's a lot going on in this movie. And again, it's not great as far as quality. But it's also great because of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are my most recent views.
Yeah, we just started getting into Michael J. Murphy's stuff. It came out with a box set. So we watched Atlantis, which is a movie from 1990, and Tracy got her 1990 hair on for sure. I gave her that name. That's not her name. He's like budget movie maker guy. And you can tell.
Kind of the Roger Corman of his time?
Kind of, yeah. So they came out with a box set recently called The Magic Myth and Mutilation, the micro-budget cinema of Michael J. Murphy. And it's from 1967 all the way up through 2015. Atlantis is one where, you know, it's just any of the bad films that you watch where they try to do like prosthetics or they try to do backgrounds or something like that, like kind of tune it weird, you know, where it's like your backgrounds are just paper mache and your prosthetics are actually kind of impressive for what little you have, but also still not good, you know, so you're kind of moving a couple dials in different directions, some bad, some good. Acting obviously is very mid, you know, but passable for what it is. So it's like, it's such an interesting thing because I love bad cinema, quotation bad, because I find it interesting what stories people want to tell, even if they don't have a budget, you know, and what they do with that. And sometimes it's literally background movies where you're like, this is unwatchable, but like, I kind of want to experience some of it. And then there's some where you sit all the way through and you're like, wow. I really enjoyed that, but that was wow. Atlantis is kind of in that vein a little bit. And I am kind of curious to watch some of his other stuff, but I don't know if I'm like a total Michael J. Murphy stan. But it is just, it's interesting to have that aspect of movie making accessible to me because I have Scarecrow Video here in Seattle, Washington, where they've bought the box set and now they have that on, you know, for rent. And so you can get a couple movies. It came with another movie called Torment, which we haven't watched yet, but, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll get to that, but Atlantis is a really ridiculous one. So let's see if I actually get like premise. A raiding party from the city of Atlantis kidnaps a man and his two daughters for slavery. He contrives to bring about the destruction of the ruling class utilizing the powers of the mysterious Crystal Child. I don't really feel that was the plot, but there was a Crystal Child. She wasn't a child, and it. Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting.
It was interesting. It's 80 minutes, which always warms my heart because I'm like, you know, we ain't sitting through no 2 hours of these things.
Yeah, we in, we out.
Yeah, like I got an hour and I'll give you a bonus 20 and that's about it, my friend. So, yeah, a lot of interesting things like that. Obviously, because I love and own Cool World, you know that I have great taste in movies, so.
Hey, I own Monkey Bone, so.
Which I actually kind of want to watch now. We were talking about it before. It's like, oh, man.
For those who don't know, you will know in the future. And that is a promise and a threat.
Yes.
So, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Sounds like we're done for today. And we will circle back pretty soon and rant about some more stuff. And I'll try to get a comic or two under my belt for the next one as well. And yay. In particular, I will want to talk about a book called Ultra Mega by James Herron. So something for people to maybe check out in advance.
Indeed.
But thank you for joining us. And thank you, Nicole. And we will talk at you all later.
We'll talk to you on the phone later, like it's 1997. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. Okay, bye.
Goodbye.